Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. It is fitting that today is Women's Entrepreneurship Day because our next guest is a female business owner herself who also just happens to be a Pulitzer Prize winning author. Louise Erdrich is the owner of Birchbark Books, an independent bookstore in Minneapolis specializing in indigenous literature. And that bookstore is the setting for her latest novel titled The Sentence. Though Louise herself is a minor character in the story, our protagonist is Tuki. She's an Ojibwe woman who was sentenced to an overly punitive 60 years in prison for kind of a strange crime. Tuki's one saving grace is books. She devours them. So when her sentence is eventually commuted to time served, the first thing she does is get a job at the bookstore. Tuki's living happily with her husband in Minneapolis, enjoying giving recommendations to her customers, until one of those customers, an older white woman who with a particular fascination with indigenous culture, dies. Her name was Flora, and her ghost seems determined to haunt Tuki in the bookstore. Tuki decides to find out why exactly Flora's spirit won't leave, but as she searches for answers, the world only becomes more confusing and frightening because the book is set in 2020. The pandemic begins, and a few months later, George Floyd is murdered in Minneapolis. The sentence examines the ways that we have been haunted by the events of 2020 and shed light on the ghosts of America's past that continue to affect our present. Louise Erdrich was one of our Get Lit with All of It authors last year, and that novel, The Night Watchman, went on to win the Pulitzer Prize. It was a great event with Buffy St. Marie. If you haven't seen it, definitely either watch it on YouTube or listen to the podcast. We are thrilled that she's able to join us now to discuss The Sentence. Hi, Louise.
Hello. That was a wonderful event. Thinking back just brought, I'm so happy thinking about it. It was great. And I also really enjoyed being called an entrepreneur because I am an author who happens to be an entrepreneur. I'm not quite sure how I got into it in a serious way because I started it on this crazy whim. Honestly, I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, you're doing something right. And it's fun that you can set a novel in your own bookstore.
Yes. I always wanted to do this. You know, the bookstore has that kind of crammed with books, old wooden floor, creaky. It has a confessional in it. You know, mm-hmm. It's got a little, it's slightly eccentric. And I always thought it might be haunted.
Well, I was going to ask, did you always want to write a story about the haunting of a place or a person or a bookstore? Or were you starting out writing a pandemic-based novel and the haunting sort of fit in nicely?
Oh, I'd always wanted to write this. And I started it a couple of times, and then I put it aside for other books. Mm-hmm. But I always started it because I have to do something that's meaningful or superstitious, whatever you want to call it. And I always started on All Souls Day in November as Tuki says, the veil between the worlds of the living and the dead is at its thinnest. And this is through many cultures who have this sense of the world's being a more porous, atmospheric mm-hmm. time. It's a time when the light starts to diminish. Anyway, I started it in 2019, November, and I decided I would not stop this time. I would do it. But I would not have done it if I had known what was coming because I really felt that I was ill-equipped to handle a series of tremendously important events that followed and all of the complexity of it. I'm not a journalist. I'm not a nonfiction writer. And so I could only go through these events in the voices and through the experiences of some very flawed character is who I came to love.
Tuki is our protagonist, is sentenced to 60 years for a crime which didn't result in the death or injury of anyone. She relocated a dead body. She didn't know the corpse had drugs on it.
I love how he used to say relocated. We're not calling her a body snatcher. No.
No, she just relocated the body.
Out of love. Out of love.
It seems like, is Tuki somebody over the course of her life has not made great choices?
Well, she's obviously, if I am the writer, I have some aspects of her, her dinosaur heart, her little pink glass heart, and her larcenous character. There's something that's resonated for me because I loved writing as Tuki. I feel like Tuki is somebody, and I'm missing her already.
You keep saying it, I say Tuki, but you say Tuki. Does it have a specific meaning?
No, not exactly. She used to take things and people just said, oh, she took it. It's Tuki. I mean, it just, and also I haven't known a Tuki with the name Tuki, but it just happened. I just, her name and her voice and all she did just was so compelling for me. So I was writing that for a while without Tuki as the voice, as the character. And then when she took over, it just kept flowing.
My guest, Louise Erdrich, we're talking about her new book, The Sentence. So Tuki is at the bookstore and she's being followed and haunted by Flora, a former customer who's a little overly enthusiastic about Indigenous culture, shall we say. I'm going to read a little bit, if you don't mind, about at one point when Flora is haunting the bookstore, Tuki. For it seemed to me that after Flora came back from the crematory, a slightly scorched smell and emanated from her favorite corner. Not only that, but Flora left the corner more often. She scratched about it in areas of the store she'd once ignored, and she seemed angry now. Who wouldn't be? Consigned to fire, crushed, crumbled, poured into a box. Once she kicked a stack of books over so violently that they slid the length of the store. Another time she stamped the floor so hard a display of hand-painted earrings rattled. I felt her rage as a low-pressure system that drained goodness from the air. So I was glad when Jackie brought in Droogie, who was old and loved to sleep. When not asleep, she stand beside me, never asking for attention, as I knew I was not the petter of dogs, but selflessly guarding me just the same. Flora never approached.
Yes. This Droogie is a dog.
Yes.
Named, of course, after the Droogies in Clockwork Orange, I guess. So Droogie and Flora she's manifesting what happens with the pandemic, with there was confusion about her remains. There was so many things that were out of step, that didn't quite work. And anything that makes a crack in the world makes Flora stronger. Mm-hmm. So that now she's able to do things that the living do, like kick over a stack of books. And it continues as things happen. She grows. Manifests.
What does it mean to be haunted in this novel?
What does it mean? Well, haunting came to mean for me something that occurs on level after level. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were haunted by this history first. We're always haunted by history, but I'll come back to that. But then we also became haunted, it seemed to me, by an invisible something that was a substance, that was this virus, that was this illness that we didn't know how to define, that sometimes manifested in people and sometimes skipped people, so that we had this thing that was always around us, that we were always trying to protect everyone else from and ourselves, and it took some people and it left some people. It was like a haunting for me.
You title one section of the book Minnesota Goddamn, which is, of course, a reference to the Nina Simone song Mississippi Goddamn. And that section is about the protests and uprisings that followed the murder of George Floyd by Derek Chauvin. What was something about that experience that you knew you had to get on the page in some way? And what was something that was really difficult to translate?
Well, as I said, I'm seeing this event that just exploded through the world, through the eyes of two people who are trying to cope with what happens on the ground. You know, one of my people is going out with AIM Patrol at night, and I left a lot out, you know, about that experience for people, because the trauma and the repercussions of what happened in the first three nights and was ignited to go through the summer and is still happening now. Mm. It's too much for me as a fiction writer to really cope with in the moment. So I just had my characters go through it. And, you know, the reckoning will go on for a long time. But the things you're asking, the specific things that, could you say that again?
That you knew there were knew that you wanted to make sure you addressed.
I wanted to make sure I addressed fry bread and the comfort foods mm-hmm. that people needed during that time, because that was something on the ground that I could see that people needed. And I could also see that there's people just working on every front to help people who were either on the front lines of this protest or scared and huddled because they did not know what was happening next in the neighborhoods. So I wanted to get a sense of the fog of what was happening, you know, the sense, and then also the sense of the sudden militarization that mm-hmm. occurred that was then profoundly disorienting for people. I mean, I talked to people who suddenly saw, you know, really big armored Humvees and soldiers coming down their streets, and it just seemed it seemed like, what are we in a war? And then it was terrifying. The whole thing mm-hmm. was really frightening for people, but there was also this outpouring of kindness and community. And a lot of the people not only are down there protesting and being part of this uprising, getting tear gassed, going down and trying to clean up. I felt like that was something that was very Minnesota, that there would also be, and also people who were doing everything, like, and these were people in the bookstore and my daughter, you know, they were going down, they protest, they'd be part of, I mean, there was many, many, many protests going on all the time. And then going on the next morning and sweeping everything up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was all that.
My guest, Louise Erdrich, the name of the book is The Sentence. It is a great book for book lovers. You're dropping names, Baldwin, Colson Whitehead, Kazuo Ishiguro. There's an incredible long list at the end of the book. It says totally biased list of Tookie's favorite books. It's really fun. So I know you're always giving people recommendations. Tookie's always giving people recommendations. What's something you've read recently that you've loved?
Oh, well, let's see. A couple of books that I've One of the books is A Thousand Years of Joys and Sorrows. It's by the artist Ai Weiwei. Mm-hmm. And it captivated me in such a way. It's about his exile with his father in China and how they lived in kind of an underground dugout. And then how they somehow kept his poems, his father's poems, which were banned. And then how Weiwei lived as an artist and how he was incarcerated. So that's one book.
That is a great one. Yeah, we have to leave it there.
Okay.
Okay. The name of this is a great book. I'm so enjoyed it. The Sentence by Louise Erdrich is her new novel. Louise, thank you so much for being with us and for the book recommendations.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
And that is all of it for this hour.